Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 161, the first paragraph that begins with, "Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors," and we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Audrey M.P., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Jess S. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L. and Robin P. The share ID for Thursday, January 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,435. That's 18435. This morning's Friday, January 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,440. That's 18440. Our newcomer greeter for today is Sharon W., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Friday. This is Audrey M.P., recovering compulsive overeater in California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. And Jess S., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Yep. Hi, everybody. This is Jess S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Jess S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 161, the first paragraph that begins with, "Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Jordan L. If you could get us started, please.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Kathleen, for moderating for us this morning. my name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors, for they number 60 or 80 as a rule. Alcoholics are being attracted from far and near. From surrounding towns, families drive long distances to be present. A community 30 miles away has 15 fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Being a large place, we think that someday its fellowship will number many hundreds. And there's an asterisk that says that was written in 1939. So these days, AA is millions. And OA is not quite that big, but it's all good. we got started a little bit later, and we're continuing to grow and get bigger. but what really jumped out at me in this paragraph this morning was this idea of being attracted from far and near. Especially, there's other phone meetings of OA as well, and there's even some in-person events like the birthday party that's held annually in Los Angeles, normally in person. It's been virtual the last couple of years. But it's what strikes me is that these virtual formats and these phone formats, they really allow accessibility to this more than ever before. You know, I know when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was 23 when I first came in, and I had a tough time identifying in, and most of that was where I was at, you know, like I just wasn't ready to surrender to this, you know. I still had some fight in me. I had some ideas, and I needed to try them out, and that's all good, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It was my experience, my story. But I love that these days we have meetings where people are talking about being recovered. and it really is attractive. And what I found is that this can be transmitted through the phone or over Zoom. It takes a little bit more contact, right? And it really is like you can't really fake being able to hear that in someone's voice, right? Or seeing that on someone's face over a video meeting. but it gives this thing to a much wider crowd, far and near, than ever before, which is pretty cool. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L., for getting us started. Okay, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on the first paragraph on page 161?
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Donna
Betsy
B.
G. Okay, I got somebody G.
Betsy.
Betsy, and who came with Betsy?
Donna B.
Donna B, okay. Anyone else want to share on their experience with?
Sharon W.
Sharon W. Okay, we'll start with that lineup. I have Melanie C, Donna B, Betsy G, and Sharon W. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Hi, Kathleen. An oasis. That is what came to my mind when I was listening to Jordan read this line, these lines here, an oasis. And the only thing that was available for alcoholics in the day was the insane asylum. And when this came about and something really was taking hold and the proof was there, the excitement was just tremendous and the word spread like wildfire over this kind of idea. And I just can feel that in my heart because I had an opportunity to watch a big book study for overeaters come together years ago and do the very same thing. It was just an itty bitty group of folks and I wanted what they had and I wanted to be there and I wondered if I would be, you know, included or because in anyway, whatever my issues were, but the idea of the fact that the power within these words, because that's what we got to use here, created an interest in people that really sharpened their connection and enlarged their relationship with power, that took them away to a place where they were neutral around food, growing in emotional sobriety and maturity, living among people without wanting to pull their eyeballs out of their sockets or their skin itching so much because they couldn't get along, to something that we have today. I remember thinking when we had our first Sunday special edition that, gosh, is there going to be enough people, you know, to come and be here? Because there were just a tiny bit of few of us that were just clinging together, hoping that this might help somebody else, keeping in mind and keeping focused that we wanted to stay simple. We wanted to only be at the place where we were grassroots, only reaching out for the person that was still suffering and no other politics within this. Was that going to fly in the face of Overeaters Anonymous? Were they going to accept that particular position and way we wanted to be just a steady group outside of meetings? Was that going to fly? We have a membership list of over 10,000 people now representing 52 countries because of the power that's in this big book. And then it stays focused and we pull out each direction and prayer and promise in every single paragraph every day so that others can see. And in those numbers is the attraction of power and might, not any single person, but in this day and this age now. And it continues to be exciting and thrilling. And with enthusiasm, I come every single day. And I am grateful for the quality that's been poured into me of the program that I have with power. And I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. in Oregon. And Donna B., you're up, followed by Betsy G. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B.
recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. I've recently been a part of this exact same thing happening. There is an OA moms board that was utilizing a specific app, and apparently that app has a limit on the number of participants. And the founders of the OA moms board had to transition us to a new app so that we could accommodate all the people who want to be a part of that additional support system, that additional fellowship. And I just thought that was amazing. The word that really popped out to me in this paragraph is that people drive long distances to be present. And I think that as I transitioned from in-person meetings to Zoom meetings, the challenge of being present really prevailed because it's easy to check email. It's easy to mess around on the internet. It's easy to clean the house. It's easy to do a lot of things that were not available to me when I was sitting in a meeting face-to-face with a group of other compulsive overeaters for the purpose of recovery. There was like a magic, a presence in the room when we were together. In my home OA Big Book meeting, which is now on Zoom, in our meeting format, we say, it's not forced, we use the word we encourage, and it's just a suggestion that you turn your camera on at a Zoom meeting. Both for the experience of the individual and for the experience of the group. And I noted that this was also a suggestion at the OA LA birthday party last weekend. And I think now that we're so many years into Zoom meetings, the challenge of being present still remains, but I do have more strategies available to me. To feel the presence of the meeting. And another thing that my home group does is at the conclusion of the meeting, we stay on and fellowship the way we used to, just fellowship through Zoom. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. That was perfect timing. Okay, I have Betsy G. followed by Sharon W. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. My name is Betsy. I'm an overeater from Longmont, Colorado. And I've been coming to this meeting for a couple of weeks now. I heard about it years ago, but preferred in-person meetings. And this paragraph is so perfect. It talks about families driving long distances to be present. I remember I lived in Minnesota for many years, and there weren't a lot of meetings in the town where I was from, so I had to drive an 80-mile round trip to go to a meeting in Buffalo, Minnesota, which was wonderful. And so I know that experience. I also am struck by, you know, the way that the pandemic, which I interpret negatively a lot of the time, but in fact, what's come out of that is this building of fellowship through electronic means, through Zoom. And I know this meeting started before the pandemic. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that people told me about it. But as I said, I preferred in person. And now, having found this meeting and the incredible depth in which we read the book, I just feel so gifted, and I have the pandemic to thank for that, and my disease. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Betsy G. And before I take Sharon W., just want to remind everyone we're on page 161, the first paragraph. Now this house will hardly accept. Sorry, will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors. And I'll be taking some more names after Sharon. So go ahead, please, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. This is Sharon W., gratefully recovered in Southern California. There's so many things in this paragraph, and just as many have said before me. Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors. I know that one of the meetings that I was in on a Sunday, because Zoom, you can, you know, your plan is by how many people are in your meeting. So as the meeting grew at the beginning of the pandemic, they couldn't accommodate how many people were coming, so they had to, you know, go into a new bracket, and of course, which costs more money. So thereby, the seventh tradition is very important. And then alcoholics are being attracted from far and near, from surrounding towns. So the town I'm in, I found a way just weeks before lockdown, literally. And so I went to some local meetings in my town, and they were all different sizes, and they were all a little bit different. There were small meetings, and I decided that I wanted to, you know, find, keep looking, like as they say, you know, try at least six different meetings. So, you know, I drove about a half an hour, about 30 minutes to a meeting, and went to that meeting two times before it shut down. But that is my home meeting, the one that is 30 minutes away. I've been the secretary on that meeting on Zoom. That is where I got my sponsor. And now as a secretary, I watched that meeting grow. When I first came on, I think there were maybe 25 or 30 people, and now there are about 60. So it's about doubled. And I, you know, I know it is because people can jump on from all over. There's another meeting that I go to where people are literally from all around the world, and maybe like this meeting, there are 200 or 300 people on it. So it is, it's amazing. I mean, it is all I know. I mean, I didn't have I didn't have much time in in-person meetings. So really, this is all I know, and it's been amazing. And it's just anything is possible as long as you're present. I sit in one chair during the meeting, and I try not to look or do anything else, because it is hard to stay present sometimes. But recovery is possible with, you know, just by connecting with people and reading the book. You don't have to be in person, because I didn't have that benefit. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Sharon W. in California. Okay, we're on page 161, the first paragraph. Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I would love to take your name for your experience.
And this is Joan R.
Alexis.
Joan R. And Alexis,
Alexis F. Alexis F.
As in Sam?
F as in Frank.
As in Frank, okay. No problem with those letters. Okay, and who came in after Alexis?
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Nancy C.
Stop. Is that P as in Paul, Nancy?
C as in Carol.
C as in Carol. Okay. I have Joan R., Alexis F., Tamara C., Deborah G., Nancy C. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, go ahead, please, Joan R.
Hi, my name is Joan, and I'm a grateful recovering again member of this group, member of OA in Oregon. And the part
Do you
that,
want to turn it up? I can't hear.
Okay, let me see what's wrong here. Can you hear me better, or
Joan? I don't know what that was, but we can hear. We can, Joan. I don't know what that was, but we can hear you perfectly. So keep going. Go ahead. Sorry
okay.
about that.
All right. No, that's okay. No, I'd rather you tell me. Anyways, the part that I'm hearing and is you know resounding in my heart is that alcoholics are being attracted from far and near. And I've had a lot of years in face-to-face OA from 2000. I went in again. And in 2013, and I had been, had a lot of miracles, a lot of, you know, weight loss, still struggling though, because and I didn't know it then, but, you know, my acting out and food is for me, it's an emotional, needs emotional healing and spiritual, of course, the spiritual malady, when it is healed, then the physical and the emotional follow. But anyway, I was at a meeting and two members that had been with me for forever walked into that meeting and, had that spiritual experience, that changed look in everything about them. And they were the same people, but everything had changed from listening to A Vision for You. And so I went home and got on to my phone line, my phone company, so I could get unlimited minutes. And it dropped my bill by $50, which is the way higher power works. You know, wow, it was direct. You know, direct directions. And I got in that meeting, even though it was 4 a.m. every day, well, it was only once a week, I think. Anyway, I got on the meeting as much as I could, and I listened to the recordings to get from meal to meal. And it really was a blessing back then. And now that I'm back in it again, it's just so immensely more wonderful and attractive. So thank you guys. I thank you so much for all who serve. I pass.
Thank you, Joan R. in Oregon. And Alexis F., you're up, followed by Tamara C. Go ahead, Alexis.
Excuse me, it was me that distracted the speaker before me. I didn't realize I was unmuted.
Oh, thank you.
I apologize to her. In all the instances where God speaks to man, he came down to the earth, as far as I know, Moses, a few other people. And I think that God also inspired Bill W. this way when he wrote the big book. From my experience, they say when you know better, you do better. But a lot of people, and for myself, I didn't get abstinent right away, or I didn't keep it long term because I knew better, but I didn't do better. I knew better emotionally about a lot of things, but I didn't do better. I was raised in a specific faith for many years and went to private schools concerning that faith. So I knew better, but I didn't do better until I came into this program. I didn't practice a spirituality. I didn't practice a relationship with God. I didn't practice being emotionally mature. All that this program has given me, along with a lot of other things that came along in my life, and I was able to take advantage of. So I'm very fortunate to be here And I thank all of you for your shares. I thank you for your leadership. And it's a privilege and an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. And Tamara C., you're up, followed by Deborah G. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. from California, and I'm grateful, compulsive overeater. And as I'm listening to this meeting and the shares on this paragraph, I'm remembering my first OA meeting, how scared I was to go into the meeting, and then to feel so much hope, like, oh, wow, here are people who understand me. And one thing I remember at the end of the meeting, someone came and was chatting with me, and she said, well, what's your plan next? And I said, well, yeah, I hope to come back next week. And she said, oh, you know, for an addict, like for addicts like us, a week is a long time to go between meetings. It just stuck with me, like the importance of meetings. And then I learned about outreach calls and the fellowship. But today I'm not under any illusion that the fellowship is my solution. I know that a relationship with my higher power is my answer, is my solution. And yet I really just want to express my gratitude for the truth that this fellowship helps me get to that relationship with my higher power. It's been a very key part of that journey. When I first started listening to Vision, and I had the courage to leave my name as a newcomer, I got calls from fellows, and I just felt so welcome and so valued. And I kept names and numbers and continued to reach out to people who called me. And I learned about 10 steps and calling people to do your 10 steps. And I learned about the importance of reaching out to newcomers as well as recovered fellows and hearing truth and sharing truth. And all of this has just changed my concept of a higher power. And it just has helped me grow spiritually. I'm just so grateful for this meeting and all of OA and all of you listening and sharing. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. in California. And Deborah G., you're up, followed by Nancy C. Go ahead, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for being of service this morning. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And wow, thank you all for the shares. And everyone that's made this meeting possible, I just got an intuitive thought. I'll just share it before I get into the other sharing. Is that, you know, what that last speaker said about the love and the service and the health in this OA Visions program that I experienced, I feel like I felt the love of God. I've started to experience what God's love is through all of you on Visions. And I love when I came to Visions because I was just doing face-to-face meetings here. And coming to Visions, it was like, wow, opening up. It was like, wow, the big book. Wow, the solution. Wow, recovered. Wow, people from all over the world are on here. Doing it together, I felt that energy, that support, that inspiration. It was amazing. And I truly feel that was a huge part of my awakening out of unconsciousness because I couldn't stay abstinent. And it wasn't until coming here and with all of you getting an OA Vision sponsor, going through the steps quickly, and I was in a workshop I was doing, did I get abstinent? This is where I got abstinent. And I love it because I hear other people in this program that are abstinent and have recovered. And it's that beautiful book that is shared, those beautiful 12 steps that are shared. you know, and shared all over the world. I think that might be the draw. Anyways, I'm so grateful to be here today with all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. in Arizona. And right before you start, Nancy, reminder on page 161, the first paragraph, now this house will hardly accommodate. And after Nancy, I'll be able to take probably three more names. So if you'd like to share, be ready to put your name in. So go ahead, please, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, I'm Nancy C. I'm in Pennsylvania. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. This meeting has been my home meeting. I've been in a couple of months, and if I don't come every morning, if I don't attach myself to the lifeline, I stray. I'm working different steps, building, you know, more and more boundaries to try to stay in program and abstinent. And I'm working the steps. I have a sponsor, and it's been very revealing. I thanked my gratitude list this morning was thank you, God, for helping me to be honest with myself and seeing things I haven't seen before. They're not pretty. I'm not happy with them, but I don't feel like I'm a bad person. It just means I have work to do. And I appreciate the perspective that this group and the people that share have given me. Once upon a time in 12-step programs, I was there but not there. I don't remember listening. I just remember not feeling alone because I was surrounded by people. I got sober, and now I know that God can help me overcome this insanity. And it's the only way to overcome the insanity is to make sure that God is a part of my every day. The steps are a part of my every day. It's just different when you're on the outside looking in, but you're trying to participate and you're trying to be a part of it, but you don't know. This during this experience in the 12 steps, I feel like not only do I have the love of people, but I also have the love of God. I've made that connection. I've made that that step, as Deborah G. just said. There's only one way, I think I mentioned it, but there's only one way to sanity for me, and that's to ask Hashem to restore me every single day and to stay on plan and to stay with my sponsor and do the steps. I know everybody says this, but right now it's coming from inside because it's really true. And I wish somebody had said to me back then, well, they did. They told me to keep coming back, and they said, just keep listening. But I, you know, went back out and everything. Anyway, I think I'll pass, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy C. in Pennsylvania. Okay, I can take some more names for page 161, the first paragraph, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days.
So read
Larry
L.
G. Larry G.
Okay, I got Larry G. and who came in?
So read L.
Who came in before? Who came in before? Who was the first person to come in?
I think it was Sarit L. from Montreal.
Sarit. Okay. Sarit L. And I have Larry G. and Christy. What's your initial?
Susan S. in Florida.
Okay, I got Susan and
Kathleen W.
Okay, we're going to have to stop there. Sorry. I think, Christy, were you in that lineup, Christy?
Yes.
And your initial, Christy?
M.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So I have Sarit L, Larry G, Christy M, and Susan and Kathleen, if we have time. So go ahead, please, Sarit.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Sarit L, recovered compulsive over here in Montreal, Canada. And everyone's shares have just been so beautiful. And talking about love and meeting, what I wanted to share is that God is in the heavens and all over, but the way that he speaks to me is through people, and my fellowship has just risen to that beautiful job of being there for me and helping to support me on this journey, and all of that is from God. That is God. What I've learned is that all love that I receive is really remote controlled by my higher power. And so all the love that I get in this fellowship, in these rooms, that carry me throughout my day, one day at a time, it's all from God. You know, when I call somebody struggling and in tears, and the guidance that I'm getting is to pray, meditate, make myself a cup of tea, write a letter to my husband that I'm, you know, feeling disconnected from, all those solutions that I'm getting and ideas are all God-given from my fellows in program who are walking this walk with me and connected to God because of the steps and the work that they are doing in these rooms. And like it's been said here, is that a sponsor gives us love and information. And when I come in initially, I don't have that love to give myself. So when I get that, love from a sponsor, you know, and from the fellows in these rooms who support me, I need that. It's like food for my soul that picks me up and gets me going and helps me to put the food down one day at a time and continue working the steps as we walk through and trudge through, you know, our days many times. It's not always beautiful roses. Not always when I've got five kids. No, I'm going to face no's and disrespect and tantrums and, you know, husband stuff. I'm going to face all of that, late nights, sleepless nights, and angry kids. And I'm going to face it all. And thank God that God gives us these people who are God with skin on to support me throughout all of this and keep me on the road. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Sarit L. in Montreal. And good morning, Larry G. You're followed by Christy.
Good morning, Larry G. from California. And thank you, Team Friday, for your wonderful service in keeping these doors open. I cannot imagine what it was like to be part of the survivors of the Titanic. You know, if the swells wouldn't get you, the hypothermia would. I mean, I just can't imagine the terror knowing that you were not going to live. You were not going to get through the night. But I had a Titanic experience in May of 2020. It was awful. It was just, I was terrified. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to go on. You know, I was in that alcoholic hell where I didn't want to live without alcohol or food. But I knew I could not go on doing what I was doing, and I just didn't have the answer. I've been going to meetings since 2000 and regular meetings and good meetings, good fellowship. I just wasn't ready. I had surrendered. I had had that Titanic experience where I was willing to do anything. I mean, anything. My first sponsor was my Abby, 12-step maintenance program. And if she would have asked me, Larry, I want you to go on top of Mount Tamalpais at 12 o'clock at night during the full moon, jump on a trampoline and recite the Our Father backwards, I would have done it. I would have gone through a brick wall. I was so ready. I was so ready to get out of that life raft and enjoy life. And this has been the most wonderful adventure. I have met incredible people. I have incredible conversations with new people every day about recovery and the willingness to put the food down. You know, when you read a doctor's opinion and you look at through the eyes of a compulsive eater, there's not a hell of a difference between an alcoholic and a compulsive eater, except the substance. I don't even consider myself a compulsive eater. I consider myself a food drunk, a recovered food drunk, because the food to me was like drinking alcohol. Now, I can nurse a bottle of Jim Beam all night and keep a buzz. The horrible thing about food is you would go into Marie Callender's and have a couple pies. It was good for the moment, but 15 minutes later, the buzz would wear off, and you would go on that horrible cycle of self-hatred. And I am living today. I haven't experienced that cycle since May of 2020. And what's really great, and this is, I don't think the new person coming into OA for the first time who's coming with visions really understands this, but the power of studying this big book each day and applying these principles, there is no kaleidoscope of colors in the big book. It's either black or white. There's no gray. You either are, you're either not. And I used to go to meetings proclaiming I was absence, but I wasn't. There was so much ambiguity and vagueness in my recovery or lack of it that I would come to meetings drunk with food. I had this order. I left this order on Instacart. I was ordered from Instacart the other day, and I couldn't believe it. 2 years ago, one of the orders Well, anyway, you know what that order looked like if you're, you know, if you're in relapse. You know what that order looked like. And thank God today I ordered absent food, healthy, absent, delicious, farm to fork food. My name's Larry. I'm passing it back to you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service.
And thank you, Larry G. in California. Okay, Chris BM, you're up. Go ahead, please. Star one to unmute, Chris BM.
Oh, hi, this is Chris BM, grateful, recovered, bulimic, anorexic, and overeater from Oregon. And I just seemed hearing about this passage of what would compel people to drive miles, a lot of people. And I just think about the power of hope and how when I walked in the rooms of OA, how much despair I had, how hopeless I felt because I could not stop binging and purging. And I felt so much shame. I felt so out of control. I tried everything within my own will and nothing worked, and I was out of hope. And here's this program, OA, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. I mean, it costs in terms of like effort and commitment, but it didn't cost me a dime. You know, when you think about all the other solutions that are offered out there in terms of that cost money, in terms of like counseling and treatment centers, and, you know, pay and waive programs and all these things that people put, you know, millions of dollars in the economy looking for a solution, you know, and how many of those things that, you know, I've tried and none of them worked. And here's this thing, and it's absolutely free. And what it was is it was hope, right, that if I kept coming back, that things were going to get better one day at a time, little by little. If I kept doing the next right thing, I would get better. And that is what was compelled. That's what compelled me to call in every morning before work. And it's hope, is knowing that 3 years ago I came in this endless cycle, and now I'm a year and a half abstinent from binging and purging. And showing up did that for me, and it didn't cost me a cent. And I just think about what a miracle and what would compel people to drive so far, so many people, for a solution, for hope, for serenity, and like what a priceless gift that is. And, you know, I wish, you know, I would have come sooner because it is such a precious gift. And I think the other piece is it's hope and connection, you know, connection to others, to be able to have a community and to walk along with people who are facing the same, fighting the same battle as you. That connection is also priceless. You know, there's a lot of shame in my eating disorder, and it's not something that I feel like I can talk about. And to come and be able to openly share and know everybody here understands me and understands this journey and understands the battle, like that's priceless. And then I think also the connection to higher power. You know, the solution, and thank you, I'll wrap up. The solution in other programs was not spiritual, and I think that's the other gift, is learning how to have a connection and have walk this journey in companionship with my higher power. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy. I'm in Oregon. And I'm sorry, Susan and Kathleen, we're out of time this morning, but I hope you'll get on tomorrow morning so we can hear your experience, strength, and hope. Okay, so that concludes this meeting for this morning, and we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Robin P., if you would please read a vision for you.
Hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I am currently in Florida. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.